You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well.
Well, when a new Takashi Miike film comes out, you know some heads are going to roll. And at least two definitely did in this movie.
I just got the lucky chance to see this at Fantastic Fest, and he was there. And Miike starts the movie before it even rolls. He just goes, a lot of you are expecting heads to be rolling by. You know, I know that's kind of my thing, but no, this is actually the movie about a small puppy who finds his family. There's no head decapitation at all here.
Well, there was a small puppy toy that featured prominently in one point.
That's true.
Oh, it was so cute. No. But hey, everybody, this is First Love, the newest Takashi Miike movie. Now, for any of you asking who is that, well, if you go through his filmography, Takashi Miike has some very interesting movies that he's made over the years. And when I say movies, also, this dude produces more movies than I think any living director right now.
Yeah, he might be the most prolific Japanese director at very least, if not prolific director, still living right now.
Yeah, I think in between 1991 and now, if you don't count some of his short films that he's done also, he's got like 100 credits to his name just as a director. Like, wow.
Cranks him out like Stephen King writes books.
Is he Japanese Stephen King? I think that's a thing.
Yeah, I think it's like him and Sion Sono like competing for like the most, and Sono started after him. It's kind of amazing. Like, these guys and porn directors put out about the same amount of movies a year.
Which, to be fair, Miike's films sometimes has some creepy sexual stuff in them too, which thankfully not so much in this movie.
Yeah, this is not like Ichi the Killer type of madness. So it's still pretty crazy.
Yeah. So just to start off here, I'm Justin Zarian. Hello, everybody. Over here, we got Ben.
Howdy, everyone.
And then over here on our second review now for the site, we got Rose.
Hello.
Hey. So first of all, again, I apologize for the troubles. So
that's quite all right. That was fun.
Oh, it was indeed. But, you know, Ben, since you're on here and you talked about this with Fantastic Fest too, why don't you explain the gist of the synopsis here? What's this movie about?
Sure. So this movie has pretty much two key leads. One is Monica, a prostitute who basically got sold into prostitution by her shithead of a father with his gambling debts. And now she's really high on meth, has really crazy hallucinations. But she, as well as Leo, a boxer who got a diagnosis that he's going to die pretty much in like the next like 30 days or less, and all he knows what to do is box, kind of meet as this crazy conspiracy to rip off the Yakuza and the Triad at the same time for a drug deal goes down. I'm trying to remember all the names correctly. I know the main Yakuza guy who's part of the deal to rip them off is Kase. And basically this guy is like, yeah, I was kind of in charge when my boss was in jail, so I feel like I should take all the money. And then he works with a crooked cop that I unfortunately can't remember the name of. I don't know if you do offhand, Justin or Rose.
Not even a little bit. But, okay, go ahead. And that's part of the thing, that this movie has so many characters that they introduce to you in the first 30 minutes. I'm just like, okay, I can only tell a few of them apart because of their hairstyles or their costumes kind of thing. But there's just so much information being thrown at you at once. I'm like, okay, who's what and who's where kind of thing.
Yeah, I was going to say, so I mean, that's pretty much the gist of the breakdown you can get to without getting deeper into other characters and side plots. But safe to say, there's a conspiracy. These two are completely like on the outside of it and get drawn into it while also like kind of falling in love in like this really cute, like be cute way that makes no sense in a Yakuza movie. There's some insanity going on. It's very clear Miike, though I will also say it feels kind of like toned down Miike, because it's all kind of controlled and kind of very quick.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that it's actually not all that crazy until the last 30 minutes when it just goes full on Yakuza slice and dice action for that.
Yeah.
But otherwise, yeah, for the most part, it's a fairly standard Yakuza gangster story mixed in with this little kind of burgeoning love story, not really all that prominent in the plot kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I don't know. And that's the thing. It's like, I actually kind of appreciated that on the whole, that it didn't just start off being totally bananas at the beginning. But I mean, what do you think, Rose?
Yeah, I agree with everything you said. I mean, it's very much ramped down from what he normally does, but still being, you know, very obviously his stuff. And it's just like this borderline comedy of errors for most of it until it gets to that balls out crazy ending.
Oh yeah, because that's the thing, is that most of the action in the film is, like you said, it's just one thing after another of people making bad choices or something going wrong or something not being timed right. It's just, you know, it's a domino effect almost leading up to that final sequence, because the amount of people get sucked into this conspiracy, like, I'm sure nobody could have anticipated the body count that would happen for this movie.
Well, I mean, that's the thing, is if you look at it, it's clear that the plan was there's a body count of basically one going into this whole conspiracy, which was the plan to kill Monica, pretty much. Everything else was just like, this will all kind of turn into a conspiracy where they'll blame everyone else. It's like, yeah, you guys didn't plan for just basically, it turns into basically a drug trip leads to the boxer just punching out the cop. And it's so wonderfully hilarious just how just clean that one scene is, where it's just like, and he's done. Mm-hmm. And just now, what the hell do we do?
Yeah, so go ahead.
It was like a really, it at least started out from that point, like almost kind of a twisted version of Roman Holiday.
Oh, God, yes. I will say, the reason why I remembered Kase, maybe it's Case, but I think it's pronounced Kase in Japanese as well.
Which is being played by Shota Sometani.
Yes, like, I really do like that actor. I've seen him in like one or two other things, but like, especially, it's just, he is so hilarious with his part in this movie. Like, just like, as things fall apart, his reaction is so just larger than life. And when things fall down, he has to go back to his bosses. I think it's one of the funniest things for me, where his boss is like, he's on the phone, he's like, what? And he just gets full, like, Yakuza shouting mode, like, super overreacting on it. And it's just, like, it's such a perfect amount of just conspiracy and things falling apart. Especially him with, I think it was Julie, the girlfriend of the drug guy they're trying to rob. Because everything with her, I think she's played, like, a Japanese TV personality who goes by the name Becky. But it's, like, it's crazy. Just them alone are, like, the greatest rivalry in this movie. And it doesn't make up for really anything, because it's such a, again, comedy of errors to make that rivalry happen.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is that there's actually quite a bit of like interpersonal conflict between all these characters, some of which, you know, develops pretty organically, and some of which is like, okay, time for them to fight, you know, just they introduce, like, it's also those things where, like, it almost is an anime where they start getting crazier and crazier bad guys to join in the fight at some point. Like, literally, there's a dude who's a one-armed shotgun fighter at this point, who is awesome. Like, I don't know who he is, why he's there, but he's there, and he's awesome.
He's basically third man into the movie. Like, they mention him one-off early on, and then he just shows up for just like, hey, we just need a badass sword fight, right? Let's do that.
Yeah, with him showing up there, it kind of took me a minute to realize, oh, yeah, they did mention him earlier. Who's this now? Oh, okay, that guy.
Yeah. No, and it's all pretty well maintained in terms of getting the actual story across, because I will say that it's not exactly a new plot they're working with here. It's a pretty standard Yakuza gangster story on the whole, but it's got so much energy and so much drive that you kind of accept the fact that it's like, well, yeah, I mean, if you've seen one Mikkei, like even other Mikkei gangster films, you probably could see a lot of the tropes and stylings that he does in his movie.
Almost definitely. And like, you know, I think the last Mikkei that I saw was outside of Blade of the Immortal, because that one's more of a period piece, but is Yakuza.
Well, and it's an anime adaptation too.
A, is a Yakuza Apocalypse, which is also an insane movie, more crazy than this by a lot.
Oh yeah.
But it also plays into a lot of these same weird, you know, goofy Yakuza tropes that he loves to mess with. And I think this one does very admirably. I mean, this was my second movie at the festival, and you know, definitely, I think it can definitely come up as a weaker Mikkei, but it's just, it is a lot of fun. Like, if you're not having a good time with this movie, I think you're really just trying to analyze it a little bit too hard, because it really is just kind of him just trying to have a good time because he had time to make this movie and he thought it'd be fun.
Yeah, no, this isn't going for any really deep themes or deep points. It's just, you know, it's a gangster movie and a love story. That's really what it is. And it, like I said, it's a lot of fun going through that.
Yeah, I would honestly recommend this to someone as an introduction to Mikkei's work if they were interested in it.
Yeah, you show them this and it's like, oh, you want to learn more Mikkei? Here's a copy of Audition. Tell me what you think about that.
Well, that's funny you mentioned that, because the one scene early on, I don't want to get too spoilery with it, I guess, but it involves a bed sheet rising up.
Oh, gosh.
And I just immediately in my mind, I went, wow, this is almost like Audition. Oh, wait, that's also one of his movies. That's right.
That scene is actually really messed up. But I kind of love how it builds up slowly to some things. And that train scene where they get kind of the payoff they were building up to with that hallucination on the train is so great, where it's just like, I wish I could see what you're seeing. I'm like, we can. It's kind of fantastic right now.
Yeah. And that's the thing also, is that saying all this stuff about being a gangster stuff, it's actually a very funny movie. Like, it's got a lot of great little comedy bits where either the joke is just some like funny banter stuff, or it's really, like we're saying, subverting Yakuza tropes throughout a lot of it. Mm-hmm.
It's hard to talk about a lot of the middle, because the middle is very much about just like moving from a good joke and a good moment to the next. But I do want to touch on like that final action scene. Like, first, there's a crazy driving sequence that like gets progressively worse as every single like opponent to our heroes shows up in different, you know, aspects. Also, one of the craziest crashes I've seen put to film recently, that I think somebody, it might have been Alan, said during the review of Fantastic Fest, he's like, that one kind of took me out of it. I'm like, no, that was awesome. I was all for that. And then they end up at like the weirdest hardware store I've ever fucking seen.
Yeah.
Which leads up to a cool fight, at least.
Oh, sure. I mean, a lot of it hinges on that last half hour being the big payoff, and it delivers. It really gives you gunplay, swordplay, all kinds of crazy nonsense throughout it. But it's all done very professionally. It's shot really well. It's edited really well. Like, it's, on terms of craftsmanship, this is pretty, like, it's not like going to blow your mind, but it's done pretty well for being kind of a B movie on the whole.
Oh, yeah. And the car chase fight thing was almost balletic, the way that it just played out. Like, everything was so well coordinated, and it just kept going round and round.
Oh, man, it was so good.
I love the triad assassin who had showed up earlier in like a really small but interesting scene. And then she's like there. And then like she has one of the greatest little character arcs where like she talks about what she's looking for when she came to Japan. And then she kind of sees that in our hero. And it's kind of like a great scene when you get there. And I kind of love that. But you got to talk about then, like, it leaves from there. There's a weird but brilliant animated scene that's pretty much like Miike came into this. It's like, oh, we don't have a budget by the time we got here. Okay, we'll do an animated scene. and then you have like the noble triad boss moment, which is great. Which just like, it's like, it kind of builds up again. As you said, it's a very tropey movie, but you know, Miike knows how to keep the tropes at least enjoyable, even if they're kind of predictable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And all the actors are really good in this movie too. Like, I will say, I like the main two characters, you know, Leo and Monica. Mm-hmm. I wasn't like overly fascinated with them, like, oh, I really hope these two make it. But it's one of the things, just like a lot of their actual performances help sell more than what was written for the characters, I think.
Yeah, and they have just such a sweetness and innocence to them, kind of, that you just want them to make it out.
Yeah. But actually, some of my, you know, a lot of my favorite characters in this movie were the gangsters and that stuff. Like we said, Kaze's really funny. The girlfriend of the drug dealer is really funny. Again, all these crazy anime villains that show up near the end, they're like, again, they have so little dialogue, and yet every time they show up, I'm like, I just want to see more of these guys. Show them fight. Let them fight.
Exactly. It's such an over-the-top fight scene. Like, even the characters that go out, I was like, what the hell is this place? Because they're just like, there's every weapon, every dark corner you could want. It's kind of awesome.
And also the fact that people, like, just again, like in anime, they're very durable to violence throughout a lot of this movie. Because, gosh, some characters, how many bullets do they take before they finally can go down, you know?
Well, oh, man.
Yeah, and then Leo's final fight, it's like, yeah, I guess the guy's a Yakuza, but you're a professional boxer. How many punches is this dude going to take to the face?
Oh, it's so great. But yeah, I mean, there is quite a bit of stuff to say, but I also don't want to talk too much about this movie, because I do think this is one that's better off to go into cold, you know, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Or at least with as little details, knowing that, yes, I'll say this. The first half hour is a bit slow as well, because they're introducing so many characters that I would just say stick with it. Stick with it up to that point, and it will start to pay off a lot better as it goes along, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
I think they punctuate that slowness well with the characters they've already developed. You know, as I said, with Kase, when he has to get into the conspiracy or when things start going bad for him and the conspiracy gets crazier is like really punctuates as they're adding more characters. And I will say Leo kind of trying to figure out how to deal with someone else since he's been so self-centered, you know, his whole life as they play up is really interesting because you're seeing him open up as Monica has no idea what the fuck's going on.
Not at all. And they even managed to give some good development and payoff for her with the whole thing of like her drug problems and that kind of such. Like that goes into some really nice places. And actually, I think that was one of the better payoffs they did at the very end of the movie, too, with that stuff.
Yeah.
It has such a melancholic end to this movie, which is almost even more beautiful. How it's just like, and life goes on. It's all about like the balance of everything. It's like, yep, there is this crazy thing and life goes on and this is what that's like.
Yeah. So no, I think that actually sums up a good point about this. Just like we said, it's very good introductory Miike. It's not one of his like all time classics in terms of craziness. It's not maybe, I mean, I don't know where this would rank in the pantheon of Miike films, but it's a good one to give to people who maybe are just getting exposed to Yakuza movies and that kind of such. So, I mean, is there other major points to bring up before we go into the final ratings?
There at the ending with that kind of closure that you were talking about, on my first watch, I thought maybe it almost felt kind of unnecessary because the scene that immediately preceded it had such a, like, a grand build to the climax and such a nice kind of ending. And I thought, all right, awesome, the credits are about to roll. And then it just kept going. I'm like, I don't know. But what we did see after that was kind of nice, but I thought maybe unnecessary.
No, I can agree with that. And I kind of felt that in theater too. Like, as I said, I like that in the end, what it built up to and they kept going was a nice, you know, melancholic, you know, slice of their life type of thing. But yeah, I felt there was that very clean cut.
Yeah, no, I agree. It felt like it was maybe like a couple minutes too long. Like they had to have like two more epilogue bits where you're just like, it wasn't really necessary for the plot kind of thing. And honestly, that's most of what I can say for even criticisms for this, because other than just saying, yeah, maybe it's not the best gangster movie, it's still it's probably the best thing I've seen this week. Let me just say that for in terms of screeners. Yeah. So, because I saw some true dreck. Wait until you see here a review for Lucky Day. We're going to have a field day on that one.
Oh, I can't wait now.
But yeah, why don't we go into final ratings then? You know, I'll start so that way I can get you guys to, you know, do the capper for this kind of stuff. I went into this not knowing much because honestly, I've actually not seen a lot of Miike movies. I saw a good chunk of 13 Assassins, that one that he did back in 2010.
Oh, yeah, it's classic.
Yeah, no, that's a really fun one. And I've seen bits and pieces of stuff like Audition and the original One Missed Call that he did back in the day. So he's got a presence and he's clearly a guy who's very good at jumping between genres. Like he can do horror, he can do drama, he can do comedy, and he does a little bit of everything in this movie. So yeah, by all means, if you get a chance to see this movie, I would totally recommend go see it. Maybe not like run out immediately full price, anything like that. But it's definitely worth checking out at a matinee price or getting it, you know, when you can watch it at home. So I would give this movie, maybe 7.5 out of 10. Let's see. 7.5 out of 10. Darn, I had something and now I just left.
I swear I had something for this.
okay, here we go. 7.5 out of 10 very near misses with a exploding apartment building.
That was great.
All right, then Rose, why don't you go ahead?
I loved this movie. I can't wait until it comes out on DVD. I would definitely watch it again. This is very fun, and I think I give it 8 toy puppy bombs out of 10.
Oh, that was such a cute little toy.
So good.
I know. I felt so bad.
I love just how he planned that out. I'll roll into mine. I did really love this movie. A part of that might be festival hype. Like you do when you're watching it with a crowd, you get a different energy. And it was a crowd of people who love Miike with him there. And it's kind of cheating, but definitely thinking about it more. It's like, there are weaker points, you know, it's like saying, you know, a master craftsman, it's like, he just, you know, gave it his average best as opposed to like worked his ass off at a type of movie. It's like, yeah, Mika could have probably killed this movie if he really wanted to and had the budget. This was him like on a lower budget going, this sounds like a fun script. I could do this script. And just,
yeah, this is one that could even crash a car. Like they had so little budget for this movie.
Exactly. Sure. So they had a great time with that. It is some, like, there may be too many characters, but there's so many fun characters that when they show up, they're developed at least just enough to be memorable, where they'll, like, stick with you and just be like, I had a good time with that guy. Hey, I love that scene with that guy type of thing. I definitely want to see it again. If you've ever heard Mika's name and said, huh, I want to check out some of his movies, this is a great one because it gets a little bit crazy, even if it's not the most, and can lead you to things like Ichi the Killer and Yakuza Apocalypse from there. But that I can definitely say this to Ichi might be a huge jump. So best of luck to you. yeah, I can't wait to revisit this one again. I'm going to give it 8 out of 10 meth hand jobs.
Oh, I was just thinking that too. Oh, jeez. That was interesting.
Oh my God. It just, that one just deteriorated as that scene with Don. It was great.
And I was like, what is he doing? Stop him.
I just love that when the mob boss is like, there was another packet of meth in here. What happened to it? It's like, it's just like nobody addresses it. And it's so, it's like the greatest hanging joke in this movie.
So you don't want to know where that went.